tell me a little bit about Becky's Place. When did you get started?
Oh, I would love to share with you. We've actually had a safe house for a little over 4 years, been in existence. And in the last 4 years, we've been able to assist over 104 individuals in our small community, which is pretty amazing, isn't it? And when I say assist, I mean that they've actually stayed in the house, in the shelter. We help outside of that in countless many different ways. And as the women leave the shelter, we are at the safe house. We engage with them and still continue on assisting them where they have needs so that they can continue that healing and growing and learning to stand on their own and recovering their voice and such. So we're very involved in their lives. And our success rate has been incredibly high. So we're very grateful. We couldn't do what we do without our community and the support and the people in it.
That's wonderful. Yeah. I want to come back to that theme of healing in a moment. But first, I want to ask you a little bit about the context of domestic violence here. Domestic violence is something that, you know, no one really likes to talk about, but is so prevalent. Could you say something about that? Could you touch on that?
Well, when I first got into the field, there was such a denial state of mind about it. It is something that shame is attached to many times, or it's something we don't acknowledge or talk about. It's hidden. It's a family secret. So just bringing the awareness and the education has been a journey of its own. But once we went through those steps, and it took a few years to bring that awareness in the community to understand and accept and embrace it and know that we needed change. And that's kind of where we're at now. And so many of our youth and the middle-aged and even our elders can be in a very abusive situations. And they're learning to come forward and that they're not alone. And there's people that will help them and walk with them and give them options and choices so that they can decide a different course for their life. They don't have to remain in that situation.
Yeah. It sounds like so much of the work you do is based around healing, and that's a theme of our show.
Oh, good.
Could you say a little bit more about that process and what maybe the more important parts of that are to you, or how that fits into the work you do?
Well, sure. The role we seem to play now at Becky's Place is when it's usually a woman and the child comes in. We get them right after the abuse has happened. We're kind of first responders that we seem to fill that role, and they stay with us about a few days to a week. And it's at that time they're usually very broken, sometimes physically body parts broken, you know, it's devastating. And they come in and just so fragile and in despair. And so we take them in for the first day or two and just kind of let them sleep and feel safe and secure and know that, you know, that it's okay. They're in a safe environment, and kind of let them regroup. And then maybe, you know, the second or third day, we start talking about what actually had transpired and what their hopes and goals are and how we can help them reach those goals, and then share other resources and information in town and outside of town that maybe they've never known about, that we can help them get from point A to point B and get on their feet. Find out if they want to stay in town, remain, or leave, or if there's other family members they can stay with. Some have never worked, and we try to help them find jobs. Many of them we've helped them find new places to live, new shelters, so that they don't have to go back to the abuse, to know that they have choices and options. So that's a lot of what Becky's Place does. Yeah.
Wonderful. So I wanted to talk to you about the specificity of being in such a kind of walking through such a vulnerable place with people and such an intimate place in a small town. How do you manage that?
Well, I try hard, very hard not to judge, and just to know that everybody has worth. And even the abuser that has been hurting the individual, it's a process for them to get into that situation. More than likely, statistics show, and what I've encountered, they themselves have been abused. So it's been a journey for me, too, to just reach out in compassion and love. Our town is amazing. You certainly don't discuss who comes and stays at Becky's Place. It's very confidential. And the women that stay there never disclose where the location is. So even though we've been in existence this long, it's still pretty the location is pretty hidden. Most people don't know where we're at. So we get elder abuse. We get all from A to Z that might come seeking assistance. And our doors are open to everybody. Anybody can come that needs help, that we're able to help. And if we don't know what to do or how to help them, we reach out and we find other resources that do and just kind of bridge that gap so that they're always in a much healthier state when they leave than when they came, feeling secure and loved and that they have choices, a new beginning, a new life.
It sounds like amazing work and work that you really need to be called for. It sounds more like a calling and a vocation rather than just a job that one would do. What put you on this path?
Oh my. Well, many, many years ago, I had a sister named Becky who was in a very abusive situation, relationship, and we were not aware of it. She never shared it with the family. And the gentleman she was living with ended up taking her life. He killed her. He had stabbed her numerous times, and she went to the hospital, and they kept her there a few nights, stitched her up, and when they released her, she returned back to the abuse. So in my mind, I always wonder, why did she go back? Didn't she know she had options and choices, that there were places and people that would help? So that's what Becky's place is for me. It is letting the women, children, and men know that there are people that care, and we will be there for them. They don't have to return. They can choose to go back, and that, again, is their choice. But if they want out of it, we're there for them, and we'll walk with them every step of the way. So we do it in her memory so there doesn't have to be another Becky. We've been at this, my husband and I, for over 15 years, and it finally got to a point where we just knew we had to do something. I was going to some of the rural villages, and to the extent that domestic violence and sexual assault and abuse happened, we knew something had to be done. So that started the vision of actually having a safe home here in Haines, that the beginning steps and receiving our 501c3 nonprofit status and getting the furniture, the whole process has been quite a journey, and we're finally at a really good spot.
And you mentioned that you traveled around to rural areas and found that this is not just in cities, this is everywhere. Tell me a little bit about that. Do all the rural places you've visited have areas where women can go? Do women come to Haines from other locations? How does that work? What does that look like?
Well, thank you. Yes. Years ago, I worked for Search as a domestic violence health educator, and that's what, when I would go to villages I had never been before, made contacts, talked, interviewed, that's when the reality of it, how widespread it was and how accepted it was, a way of life. And so when my grant ran out at Search and I was no longer with them, but we continued on with our vision of someday having a safe home here, I promised them I would return once we had a house. And I did. I've gone back to 4 or 5 different villages and let them know that we are indeed here for them. If they have a need, we will fly them back. We will do whatever we take to get them to safety, and which we have done. We've had people from Fairbanks call. A grandmother had her grandchild there and called and asked, would we take her in? And we said, certainly. We've had them from Kodiak, Yakutat. We've had them all over Southeast Alaska. Again, our doors are opened. We're faith-based, but we just do what we do, just loving on people. But you certainly don't have to be a Christian or anything. Our doors are open to anybody. It does not matter if you have no beliefs. It's just, we're there for you. And when I went back and I, again, connected with the police departments and the different organizations there and let them know that we are a resource. There's safe houses around a lot of these places, but we're a very small community. And for some of these rural areas, it's terrifying to go to a big city. So to know that there's a small location for you and that you would be well received and helped get on your feet, we get positive responses from that, and they come.
I'm glad to hear that. Besides visiting you yourself, is there another way that and women or anyone who's in an abusive situation can find you?
It's word of mouth. It's advertisement. You can go online and Google. depending on what area you might live in, who's ever listening, there's safe houses located all over. And if you gave them a call, there's a big one in Juneau, the Aware Shelter. They're just all over. They would provide transportation to get you there, maybe not from there to another location, but they would certainly bring you there for the safety issues. We all work together. If we can help one another, we do. Many times they might leave here and go to another location if that for their safety. And so I will call. I'll do whatever it takes to get them to that next step where they can continue on that journey.
Wonderful. And so what's next for Becky's Place? Do you have hopes of expanding or things that you want to do or see in the future, offerings that you may want to expand to?
I do. Our ultimate goal is to actually have a home, to buy one or have somebody gift one to us, but we're looking for a home that we're not at the expense of paying rent. Our overhead is pretty high. And that somebody, a staff member, can live there 24/7. That we desperately need. As it is right now, we have no funds to pay salary of any kind. So it's all on a voluntary basis. So that's our long-term goal. Anybody that comes and wants to volunteer at Becky's Place, it's mandatory for us that they go through training to keep them safe and the women safe in the shelter. So we have like a 30-hour training online through the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. So that way they know what they're getting into and they're more equipped. It can be extremely dangerous at the house. So just knowing how to deal with it when different situations might arise is always good. So people help, and our fundraisers, there's just so many ways and different ways. We have women in this town that have made us quilts that give to the women, and some of the women, they can take the quilt with them because they come with absolutely nothing a lot of times. So we try to get them the basics. Tallies, if I can share. We have an account there, so if people can't support us one way, they drop stuff off there and the funding goes to Becky's Place. And then many times I'll take the women there and they're able to buy a couple different sets of clothing. We'll get them a suitcase, whatever they may need. And for the children, the babies, and for the men, or if they're afraid to come out, I get their sizes and I go down there and do the shopping for them. We fly them out on the small planes or the ferry. And a couple down south still keep in contact to let us know how they're doing. Probably three-fourths we have phenomenally high rates of success of people not returning. About three-fourths, in my estimate, have not gone back.
When you say not gone back, just to clarify, you mean not returning to a situation of violence?
Yes. They've actually made the new beginnings and stood on their feet, and that self-worth and value have come back, and they've learned that they can succeed, and they're not alone, and that they don't deserve the abuse, that they have value and worth. And it takes all of us, all of us together. So, again, an amazing community pulling together. We could not do without the support that our community has given us. It's just amazing. Yeah.
And that does sound like a remarkably high rate. You said about three-quarters of people heal and regain independence.
Yeah.
Do you have a sense of what a typical rate of recidivism isn't the word, of returning is? That seems high to me, which is great.
What I have read and been told in different trainings I've attended, many times the women will leave 6, 7, 8, 9 times and then continue to go back. So I think our rates are so high, but I think one of the reasons is because we stay in contact with them, that they're not back in the same old mode, the new routine, new beginnings, new hope, new avenues. Again, job training, whatever it takes to get them past that hurdle, get them out of town if that's what it is, out of that environment. Sometimes they stay because of the children. We have to keep them in school, but that's what I have found or what I would contribute it to, Yeah, and so then out in the community, they're just friends. I just look at them, we're just friends, but I always pop in and see them, and they know we're accessible, and if I don't have what they need, I put a shout out, and people help with furniture. We've helped with heating for their house at times, with gas for their cars. Telephone is essential, so we'll get that going if to keep them safe. So if they, you know, if the abuser is following them or something, that they can call for help. Medical assistance, counseling, Lynn Canal. So just whatever the needs are, we do our best to help. And yeah, it varies.
And you've been doing this work for, it sounds like, many, many years, not just the last four, but long before that. What is your biggest takeaway? What is the has made the biggest impression on you in all those years?
To see the change. To see the change in the women from what they came in as and when they're leaving, and in the children. Yeah, it's very rich and rewarding. I love what I do. I'm so fortunate to have a wonderful, supportive husband. I couldn't do what I do without him either. He does so much of the maintenance part of it, of the supporting me through it, of just so much, you know, and he's okay with me leaving for 2, 3, 4 days a week. When somebody comes, my pledge is I'm with them 24/7 until we get them to the next step to keep them safe. So they have that element of safety and security in the house. So it's a big commitment. Sometimes a handful if we have a lot of little children, you know, and we can't go outside and play. That's been, I've learned to adapt and adjust. We buy tents now and different things. And so it's been an incredibly rich, wonderful journey. We need help. We need volunteers, people that are willing to get trained. But I know in time it comes, so it's okay. We hope someday to be able to hand it off to an organization, to have our board really strong so that it will continue on once we're gone. We want it to, it's sad there's always a need, but as long as there is, we want it to continue on, that we can be that light and that help and resource. Yeah.
That's wonderful. And I meant to ask, what is the biggest challenge with the work that you do?
Sometimes it can be challenging not having anybody to really talk to about it. That can be difficult, but I have some new resources. So, you know, it's important not to carry it, and we have a tendency to. You just get so caught up in their lives and their success. Safety is a big issue, and not to ever get burnout or a hard heart from the whole thing. To remember why you're doing what you're doing. But it just blesses me so when I see them in town and I see how well they're doing. And they might stumble a tiny bit, and that's so fine. We're just there to help them get back on their feet. It's all good. It's just rich and rewarding. Yeah.
Great. And anything else that you'd like to add? Anything I wouldn't know to ask?
Oh, you've asked more than I dreamed of, so I thank you for that. No, nothing that comes to mind except to thank everybody for their commitment with us through this whole situation. They are such a part of making it a reality. And they play a part in the healing. It's not just us by any means. Know that as we do it, you do it. You're right there with us. You're keeping us going. And our lights on, food in the cupboards, you know, clothing on their back, bedding, the children safe. They're all such a part of what we do. So thank you. I would say that to our community. Thank you guys so much that we are blessed to live here and for your support.
Wonderful. Jackie Majakis, thank you so much. We're sitting with Jackie Majakis from Becky's Place in Haines.
Thank you so much. Thanks.